I'm Elise Forbes with BYU Idaho Radio. Idaho House Representative and Minority Leader Elana Rubel joins me by phone. Thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure.
So to start off, this year's legislative session begins on Monday the 10th with Governor Little's State of the State Address. In this address, he proposed using the state's $1.6 billion surplus for a few things. He talked about tax relief, education, public safety, and behavioral health. Do you expect these public funding proposals to pass and go into effect?
Well, you know, that's a good question because, you know, just because the governor puts it in his budget does not mean it's going to go through the legislature. You know, I certainly hope a lot of them do. I was, you know, very pleased to hear about his proposal to increase education funds. Behavioral health is desperately needed. Infrastructure. I mean, it's all really important stuff, including increasing the higher education budget, which was actually decreased last year. But again, you know, he also recommended increasing the higher education budget last year. And again, the legislature rejected that and, in fact, cut that budget. So, yeah, it's really anybody's guess as to how it'll play out once it gets to the House floor. But I, you know, I certainly plan to be supporting those things. The one thing that I think I will not be supporting out of what he put out there was that income tax cut, just because it's hugely expensive. The bill they just put out would cost about $600 million. And very, very little of that money would go to anybody that needs it. You know, if you break down the numbers, it would be like $13,000 to millionaires and $75 to regular working people, and pulls a huge amount of money out of, you know, potential education funding and healthcare and dealing with our foster care system and all the things we need fixed. So I just can't, you know, support a giant mega tax cut for millionaires when we have real problems that need solving. And there's a lot of ways to give tax cuts to people who really need it. That I would support, but this ain't it. So I don't know. I think it will be a struggle to get all that money passed to education, but I'll sure be voting for it.
Yeah, you kind of answered my second question, which was about that proposal yesterday with the income tax cut. I know there's been talk around different tax cuts, such as, you know, property taxes, and then there's also a grocery tax cut that has been discussed. What are your thoughts on these different ideas, and which do you think are the most beneficial to Idahoans?
I mean, yeah, I think the income tax cut is by far the least beneficial to Idahoans. And so I was really disappointed to see that be the one they kind of rushed to introduce. Because as I said, that's the one that, you know, nobody, it's not what I hear from people that they want. You know, when people contact me, there's a lot of people that are really concerned about property taxes that, you know, and this can often be senior citizens and people that don't necessarily have a high income, but, you know, they bought their house maybe 50 years ago. Their house is all paid off. They were just counting on living in their house till they die. And then all of a sudden their property taxes get tripled and they can't afford to live in their own house anymore. And I hear that from a lot of people. And I think that would be really the most beneficial thing we could do, would be to try to help people with their property taxes. Grocery taxes, I think, could also be pretty beneficial to people, because that's another thing that, you know, you got to buy groceries. And that's something that can really hit lower income people harder. But yeah, I've yet to hear anybody ever reach out to me and say, you know, I'm really worried that millionaires in Idaho are paying too much and I want to give them a $10,000-$15,000 tax cut. That's just not something I've ever heard that anybody wants. But that seems to be what our legislature wants to do. But I don't think any Democrat's going to be voting for that.
And as a Democrat and a majority Republican legislator, what is that like? And what is the process of introducing legislation like for you and other Democrats?
Well, I mean, it's pretty challenging. You know, Democrats only have 18% of the legislature right now. So you definitely can't count on passing anything with just Democratic votes. So anything that you want to pass, you better have a lot of Republican support for, and that can take a lot more work, you know, because it's, you know, so I think a lot of their instinct is to vote against it if they see a Democrat bringing a bill. So you have to work kind of quadruply hard to put together, you know, public support and public advocacy. And that's a big part of it is, you know, they need to see that the public really cares about this if they're ever going to let a Democratic bill get heard. So you need to have, you know, regular folks in the community come in and say, hey, I really need this to happen. And, you know, I always try to find a Republican co-sponsor for my bills. And you just got to really work it very hard and have a lot of meetings with a lot of Republicans and chairmen and, you know, all that kind of thing, and generally try to, you know, have good personal relationships with them for that to happen. And actually, you know, Elise, there was a thing I wanted to mention on tax issues, if you don't mind my going a little bit out of order.
Not at
but
all.
Something that's really important for people to know that I think people don't understand, and maybe if they didn't understand, we'd have better policy. But it has to do with internet sales tax, which is kind of a big deal because, as I'm sure you know, more and more people are buying stuff on Amazon and over the internet, and fewer and fewer people are buying things in stores anymore. And the reason this matters is right now Idaho has a law on the books that I think is certifiably insane. And what this law says is, you know, you go to a, you know, you go down the street to Walmart and you buy a shirt and you pay sales tax on that shirt. You pay 6% sales tax, and all that sales tax that people pay on those things they buy in stores gets collected, and 11.5% of all that goes to pay for police and, you know, fire departments and all of your local needs and your local government and your county. And then the other 88.5% goes into the state general fund, where it mostly pays for schools and public schools, and it also pays for, you know, health care and that kind of thing. So let's say you buy that very same shirt online at Amazon instead of buying it at a brick and mortar store. You will still pay that 6% sales tax, but not one penny of it will go to any community need. Not one penny of it will go to schools. Not one penny of it will go to police. It's treated totally differently than if you bought that shirt in a brick and mortar store. If you buy it online, they take all of that sales tax that's collected, and it goes to help fund this income tax cut I'm talking about, where, you know, really wealthy people get and corporations get a huge tax cut, and regular working people get very little. So they're basically, you know, it's a little bit robbing Peter to pay Paul, but they're taking that internet sales tax money and using it, as I said, for an income tax cut, mostly for the wealthy. So it's really weird. Most people think that sales tax is sales tax, and it doesn't matter where you buy your thing, that your sales tax is just going to go to pay for the police and whatnot, but that's not how it works. It could work that way, and that's one of the bills I'm bringing to try to make it work that way. but that is not how it currently works.
Wow. And is that's obviously a law here in Idaho. Is that common in other states, or is it?
No, I've never heard of any other state having that. I think it's insane that Idaho has that. It's just a weird, weird law that they passed a couple of years ago. They did that, I think, starting in 2020. And I think it needs to be fixed. And it could be fixed. It could be fixed in 5 minutes. It would be a really simple bill to fix it. I just need the Republicans to be willing to agree to fix it. And that's really been the barrier so far. We've been trying for a couple of years to get that fixed, and they won't allow the bill to get a hearing or a vote. I think actually there are some Republicans that agree with me on this and would love to work with me on it, but the chairman really is the one who won't allow the bill to get a hearing.
I was reading a bit about you and your background, and you have a lot of background in law. You are a graduate of Harvard Law, and you currently work as an attorney. And I was curious to know how your background in law has informed your political decisions. Do you have any law experience that's helped you in your decision making?
Yeah, I found it really helpful to have a background in law. Although sometimes it's more frustrating. I mean, it makes it much easier to read a law and to have an instant understanding of, you know, whether it's a good idea or not, and understand what the unintended consequences might be. Where it's, you know, you look at it like, "Whoa, this may look good on its face, but it's going to have all these other repercussions that are going to mess up a whole bunch of things you may not be thinking about." So, being a lawyer, I think, does really help. You know what good laws are supposed to look like and what bad laws look like. Conversely, of course, it can make the job very, very frustrating, because when really bad laws are passed, it just makes it that much more painful, because I'm acutely aware of how badly it's going to play out. but I think it is helpful to be, you know, more informed and have a better three-dimensional understanding of how it's all going to play out. So, yeah, I think it's helpful. But, you know, there are some great lawmakers out there who are not lawyers, and some of the best lawmakers. And, you know, I hope if you have listeners out there who are thinking of someday running, that they absolutely, you know, do. And there's no reason you have to be a lawyer. You know, the person who had the minority leader job before me was an outdoor guide, and he used to take people on mountain hiking trips. And he was a tremendous legislator. You know, there are great teachers who become legislators, pretty much all walks of life. There's definitely no need to be a lawyer to get into this profession, but you know, it's helpful in some ways.
Yeah.
But I think everybody uses whatever their background is, and it gives them a good background in passing laws. Because if you're a teacher, it gives you a good understanding of what laws would be helpful for education, and if you're a doctor, it gives you an understanding of what laws would help healthcare. So I think everybody puts their background to good use.
I was also curious to know about how it has been running as a Democrat in your district, as you've, you know, campaigned, and as you now, as you've been elected, have gone back and focused on the needs of your constituents. What are some needs that your constituents have that you think that the Democratic Party here in Idaho is uniquely prepared to address?
Let's see. Well, certainly the property tax thing, I think, is, you know, we are taking it very seriously and really trying to make that a top priority. And again, I feel like the Democratic Party is taking that a lot more seriously than the Republican Party is right now. They're blocking our bills and really haven't done anything for years to do any, you know, to do anything about that property tax issue. Education is another huge one. That's really a top priority for the Democrats. We are really concerned about, you know, the school situation and a huge number of teachers. You know, our schools are the least funded in America. Our teachers are so underpaid compared to teachers in almost any other state. A huge number of them are actually looking at leaving the profession because the pay is so bad here in Idaho. And that's really something that, you know, the Democrats are super committed to addressing. And I think not so much the Republican Party. You know, I think by definition, they've had a total control over government for decades and decades. You know, they control more than 80% of the legislature. They hold every single statewide office. They hold every federal office. And we've ended up last place in America in education. So I think that kind of speaks for itself that funding education is probably not their top priority, or they certainly could have fixed it by now. They have all the power they need to do that. But there's a lot of other issues. You know, Democrats are really committed to public lands and environmental issues, including addressing climate change. That's something where, you know, I have never been able to find a Republican in the building who will admit that climate change is real or human caused, or that we should do anything about it. So it's been kind of a lonely battle on that, trying to do things like, you know, promoting solar energy, or, you know, trying to promote, you know, making it more possible for people to drive electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles. There just is no buy-in that I've found from the Republican legislature on that. And that's an issue that worries me a lot about Idaho, because I think climate change is already having and is going to have worse impact on Idaho. So, you know, losing our ski season and forest fires and animal welfare, fish, wildlife, all that, our water levels, our rivers. So those are just a few of the issues. But, you know, health and welfare issues, too. I mean, the Democrats were staunch supporters of Medicaid expansion. And for 7 years, the Republican legislature refused to even allow it a vote. It never even got voted on, really, by the House of Representatives, because every year they blocked it and refused to even allow it to be heard or voted on. And I think that's something the people of Idaho, we know they wanted it, because once it finally made it to the ballot, 61% of Idahoans voted for it. But it just wasn't something that our Republican legislature was willing to allow it to have happen. So I think there's actually a lot of areas where, you know, even though we don't have very many seats, I think the Democratic position is actually more in line with what most Idahoans want on a policy level. And that's a communication challenge for us, is we got to get that message out there that, you know, we're actually pushing for the things that most Idahoans really want. We just need them to vote for us so we have a chance to implement it. You know?
Right. And as you look forward to the rest of the session that's coming up, what are some changes that you hope to see? You've kind of touched on that a bit, but what do you hope to see come out of the session? And what do you think Idahoans can maybe look forward to as a result of this legislative session?
Well, I think it could go one of two directions. I mean, we could do some really good stuff this session. You know, we could, for example, the foster care system is pretty much on the brink of collapse because they are so understaffed. They don't have people to address the needs of these foster care kids who have been through severe trauma and to, you know, properly vet families and get kids placed. You know, big problems on that front. Behavioral health generally, there's incredibly little mental health support for people who need it in Idaho. We have a chance to fund that and, you know, really make some progress in that system, improve our education funding. You know, we could, I don't think it's going to happen, but we could do some real work to address property taxes and help low-income seniors stay in their homes. There's a lot of good stuff that could happen. And we're certainly going to work very hard on that to make that happen. And actually, one of the things I just got out of a meeting right before I talked to you is emergency medical services. Right now, huge parts of the state don't have any money to hire paramedics, and they're having to rely completely on volunteers. Some of them don't even, you know, have decent working ambulances. And so, you know, there are parts of the state where if you have a heart attack or a stroke or some horrible accident, you know, you're going to have a really hard time getting an ambulance there with a trained medical professional to come save you. That's something I think we really can and should fix. You know, we live in a civilized society. We have enough money to do it. I think everybody that, you know, has a severe medical accident in the state should have, you know, a decent medical emergency provider arriving in an ambulance to save them before it's too late. So those are the things that we're really going to be working on and hopefully make some progress on. And again, I just hope that it doesn't end up in a situation where we just get bogged down in really contentious social issues and, you know, banning social justice teachings in schools and all that. That would be really an unfortunate direction for the session to take. But that's certainly what's happened in the past, where we just end up with, you know, lots of bills attacking the gay and transgender community and lots of bills on all these hot button social issues, but don't really make progress on the big issues that would make people's lives better.
Right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, Elise. It's such a pleasure, and a shout out to all your listeners, and I hope I get a chance to talk to you again sometime.
Likewise.
And anyone should feel free to get in touch with me. I always love hearing from folks.
This has been an interview with Idaho House Representative and Minority Leader Ilana Rubel.